Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch, got your back, Coach 96. We do got your back. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking. Heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey fam and friends, hey, welcome to Coach P's Perspective, where coaching, inspiration, and faith collide. This is your host, Coach Chad Parks, and thank you for joining me today. I'm a college All-American wrestler, coach, and the author of the best-selling book, Game Changing Moves. This background has allowed me to train elite athletes, coaches, and high performers from all walks of life. So if you need a pick-me-up, a kick in the pants, or a coach in your corner, I got you right here on Coach P's Perspective. Let's go. All right, hey, welcome to another episode of Coach P's Perspective. Today, I'm excited, man. I have one of my good buddies on, Coach Cody Garcia, who is a phenomenal college wrestling coach, a great man of faith. I've had the opportunity and the blessing of doing some wrestling camps with him. And, you know, I rarely say this, but sometimes I interview people that are older than me, or I'm around coaches that are older than me that I look up to. And there are a lot of things I can learn from them and aspire to be like them. And I've said of Coach Garcia a couple of times, after I've left a wrestling camp, I've been like, I would wrestle for that dude. If I was young enough, I would wrestle for that dude, or I would be his assistant coach, and I'm older than him, you know? So Coach Garcia is a great guy, a coach, man. It is awesome to have you on.
Yeah. Honored to be on here. Humbled to, for the opportunity to talk with you, and I'll work on that. Maybe we can get a fifth year eligibility somehow. We'll see if we can work it out.
That'd be old man status for real.
That's so. Right.
Yeah. So. All right. Hey, a little bit about Coach Garcia's background. You know, was a multi-time state champion here in the state of Kansas, wrestled for his dad, who was an amazing wrestling coach, Hall of Famer type wrestling coach. And in his own right, was just an incredible all-around coach, wrestler. The legacy's huge. Coach Garcia, you know, went on, Cody here, wrestled in college for University of Nebraska, Omaha, multiple-time national champion, four-time All-American, four-time academic All-American. Wrestled for a great program, and we're going to talk about that here in a little bit, and a legendary coach. And then now is the head wrestling coach at Baker University. Wrestled or has coached at a couple different places, but really is building Baker into a national powerhouse. So, Coach, let's do this for those listening and maybe those who are outside of the wrestling world and don't know you. Tell me a little bit about your background, growing up, where you grew up, how you got into sports, maybe other sports that you played, and then some about your wrestling.
Yeah. So, you know, we've talked about it before. We have a lot of similarities. Another one being, I grew up in Oklahoma. I was born in Oklahoma. I was there till I was eight. But, you know, in that time, right, when you're in Oklahoma, the homecoming, winter homecoming was at a wrestling duel, right, instead of a basketball game. It's something that, you know, I was around wrestling my whole life, but, you know, even, you know, just being around it, right, maybe not competing. My dad did a good job of kind of slowly bringing me into the sport. But outside of that, I was just active, right? I think they always tell me, like, first word was football. I always had a football with me. Always had, you know, just finding ways of, you know, I have two sisters. So, you know, a lot of the things I just found, threw a ball against a wall for hours at a time, just everything I could do to stay active. A lot of time outside, a lot of fishing, a lot of, you know, hunting, just the typical, you know, kid growing up in early 90s.
Now, when did you actually, like you said, because same here, you know, my dad did a pretty good job kind of slowly getting me into competition, but I was in the wrestling room since I could walk. About what point did you actually start competing and practicing and really getting into wrestling?
You know, I think they let me step in the room a few times when I was 4 and 5, you know, and then I started practicing consistently when I was 5 and 6. I think I wrestled 3 tournaments when I was 7. Then maybe bumped about 6 to 8, finally wrestled a state series when I was 8, and kind of that 8 and under, 10 and under is kind of when I got a little more into it. And then still, you know, did all the sport all the way through high school, was 3-sport athlete. So, you know, it was a good way for me to balance everything. Obviously wrestling was something I was passionate about from the very beginning. But I think it was a healthy balance. My first sport I was in was gymnastics, and my mom was a high school state champ in gymnastics. My dad was a high school state champ in wrestling. So I always tell people, and I just picked good parents, right? I kind of bred to be in athletics, and gymnastics is an amazing foundation, you know, for whatever you end up doing, and stuff that we try to incorporate still to this day with our program and with my son, right? We got two little wrestling mats downstairs. We do a lot more gymnastics and wrestling on it. I'm learning that age catches up to you though. So my back bend isn't what it used to be, and I'm a little more sore today from it than I thought I would be.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that. And yeah, you're right. Gymnastics is an incredible background. And I love hearing that you're a three sport, you know, that you are a three sport athlete, because we have so many athletes now that specialize at such a young age. And I'm not against somebody specializing at, you know, at a certain point when they get, you know, maybe junior, senior year in high school or something like that. Depending on the person, not everybody can do one sport year round. People need that break, you know, but I think just adding to overall athletic ability, having exposure to other sports, their movements, the team concepts, things like that, it all benefits.
Yeah. I had a cross country coach in high school that was, you know, equally as impactful, you know, when it came to, you know, cause wrestling, right. I kind of had that mindset. I was just going to outwork people and do this and that. You know, she was the first, I mean, this is early 2000. She had a heart rate monitor on me. She was, you know, we were doing all these different things as far as how we train and peaking, and kind of opened my eyes. And I think has had a, you know, impact on what I do now, right. I'm a little more aware of, you know, how we can be efficient, you know, how do we, you know, not only train hard, but train smart. And I think that's an important thing to figure out in a sport that's as physically demanding as wrestling is.
Oh, absolutely. Huge. So tell me about, you know, being, and again, this is something else we have in common, but being a coach's son, and not just a coach, but like kind of legendary coaches who did a lot in the sport, the pressures, the good and the bad, right? Tell me about being a coach's son.
Yeah. You know, like I said, I was very blessed. My dad, that's a tough dynamic, right? It's a very tough dynamic, and you see the negative effects of it often, unfortunately, you know, from my seat when it comes to recruiting and different things. It's a tough balance. And I think, you know, again, he did it seamlessly, right? He did a great job of letting me build into my passion, right? I think he fueled that fire. He did a great job of, you know, inspiring me, showing me, you know, what I needed to do to be successful, but letting me own it. You know, I think that was the biggest thing, that it was my journey. And he probably, you know, probably had to pull the reins back more often than the other way around. And only because I think he built into that, right? I wanted to be great. I wanted to work every day to hone my skills and figure out how I could become the best version of myself. And I think, you know, he understood that if he could just feed me little things at a time and kind of understand how to connect and what resonated with me. I mean, that's the benefit, right? Is, you know, you know your son probably better than you know most kids that you're going to be working with. So you kind of figure out, right, the right buttons to push. I mean, I'm just similar to him, right? I'm not really a yeller. You know, I have shared passion with these kids, and we figure out those shared passions, and we try to align our goals with our actions. And those are things that, you know, again, I've kind of been doing my whole life.
Yeah. Now, your dad retired a couple of years ago, and, you know, your dad and my dad knew each other in Oklahoma, and you guys were down in Blackwell for a while.
That's right. Yeah.
So we got connections down there. But, you know, before your dad retired a couple of years ago, we'd always see each other once or twice a year at tournaments. Uh-huh. And so I usually go over, and at some point we'd sit down with him, or he'd come over and sit by me, and we'd just have long conversations. And yeah, your dad is such a calm, cool, collected guy. There's like a underlying intensity that's in there, that, you know, this dude is like legit, but he's like, yeah, it's such a like calming presence. And so for me personally, I love just sitting and listening to him and picking his brain and hearing his thought processes. He's a smart coach, man.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's the thing, you know, even as we'll kind of talk about this later, but my transition to college, you know, that was a component that was going to be important. You know, that same dynamic, that same relationship that I had with my dad, I needed something that was consistent to that to maximize my potential, I felt like. And again, he had a great vision for, you know, what that looked like, how to balance those things, and something that I even look at, you know, my son started wrestling a little bit last year. I'm like, man, this is a little bit of a daunting task at times, you know, because you want them to own that thing and want it to be theirs. But, you know, at the same time, you know, I'm so particular from a technique standpoint, you know, so eight-year-old, I kind of just have to be hands off. Like, you know, I just got to step back right now.
Yeah. That's tough. You know, my boys are five and seven, actually 7-year-old just turned 8 last week. Uh-huh. And they're not competing yet. You know, they come up in the wrestling, my guys and stuff. But I'm the same way, man. I'm so particular with technique and things like that. But my daughters, you know, my daughters are volleyball players. And of course, it's not a sport I do. My wife's a volleyball coach. But,
yeah,
you know, I, whether it's soccer, volleyball, whatever, I'm 100% hands off. I just try to be a quiet source of strength on the side and encourage them. But tell me, and I know that you advanced and it's going to be two separate things. So once you got to college, but what were some of the things that you were doing as a high school athlete that allowed you to be a highly successful high school athlete?
Well, again, I think I was unique. You know, I think they used to, even in elementary, my mom still teases me about it. I used to, you know, tell people how it was like, oh, you could have 500 grapes for that one cookie, you know, just everything. Like I was just immersed in it. You know, I figured like the nutrition side. I stopped drinking pop when I was 8 years old and I didn't drink it again until I was 22. You know, so just like little things like that. I just was kind of enamored with the sport and trying to figure out how to be the best version of myself through it. You know, almost to, you know, a point where sometimes I got in the way of myself probably. Right. But I think it was a good foundation for me to understand that, you know, I did have a lot of ownership in my success and what I could do to be successful. And, you know, to have a dad right there that I could work moves on. And then, you know, in high school, right, if I needed during a TA, I could go in there and get extra workouts. And it just kind of that drive that was already there. I think, you know, I felt like, you know, I didn't think there was going to be anybody that could outwork me or be as disciplined as I was in order to be successful. And I think, you know, even though you can't prove that, I heard somebody talking about this the other day, you know, I could never prove that, right? But mentally, you know, I truly believe that nobody was more dedicated to the sport of wrestling than I was. And that's where that confidence, that's where that courage comes from. If you're going to step out on the line and put everything out there in a wrestling match, because it's a vulnerable position, you know, so to put yourself in that position to know that I've made those sacrifices, not even sacrifices, right? You know, made those attempts to be the best version of me, then I got to be confident and courageous as I step to the line.
Absolutely. Love it. Love it. All right. So you move on into college and you go wrestle for Coach Danny. You go to Nebraska Omaha, who won, you know, multiple national titles as a team. You're a part of some of those. You won some national titles. Tell me about that relationship and some of the special things that he did to get the best out of you guys, right? I mean, he built this incredible culture.
Well, and I think that's one of those things too. I figured out, you know, because I was so used to my dad, right? I knew he loved me and he was going to love me regardless and all these things that, you know, are important to know as a wrestler, right? I figured out, you know, that's not limited just to you know, family. You know, and family is a word that you can interpret however you want. Cause we had a family up there in Omaha and I knew Coach Denny loved me. I knew he was going to take care of me. I knew my best interest was in mind when he was making decisions and, you know, either if it's encouragement or reinforcement or, you know, whatever it was things that, I truly believe that he was, you know, behind me and wanted the best for me. And when you have those things, right, that's, if you know that as a coach, if you get guys to trust and believe, you know, in you the way they believe in you, I think that's huge. You know, that makes such a difference. And I think that was probably our biggest strength as a program. You know, it was kind of a hands-off program for the most part, right? People ask me all the time as far as how we trained, the things we did. It was real consistent, right? There's a lot of routine, but there's a lot of autonomy. You know, we didn't do conditioning. We didn't do a lot of in-season, a whole lot of weights as a team, right? It was kind of, you know the things that you need to do to be at your best and yeah, we created, you know, opportunities to do those things. And I think just with the coaching staff that we had, the resources we had, that built confidence as well. But my biggest takeaway is to just care, you know, and it, you knew that dude cared about you. And I think that was the thing that, you know, inspired you each and every day to make sure you were bringing your best because you knew who he was and that, you know, he was going to love you no matter what. And because of those things, you wanted to make sure you were representing that brand in a positive way.
Yeah, I like that. I like that wording that you just said, that brand, because that's what it is, man. When you build that culture and you have that love for the program, I mean, it's a brand, right? And then you have that brand loyalty. It's funny. I'm glad that you said that. I've never heard that about Omaha. And I was recruited there myself. But I've never heard that about the autonomy that you had and not, you know, not lifting a lot together. And because I wrestled three different schools. I was at Missouri Valley, and then I transferred to Labette. But we kind of did the same thing at Labette, you know, preseason. We had 3 days a week that we conditioned together as a team. Weightlifting was on our own in season, kind of the same thing. And coach pushed us hard and we had good practices, but it was kind of like, here are the things you need to do to be really good. And he trusted you to do them. And you did them because coach loved you and believed in you, right? And you were going to go and do that. And you were self-driven. So very, very similar there. I like that a lot, man.
And I think culture too, right? I mean, you spoke to their culture and same with our culture. When you have leadership, when you get to watch a 3-time, 4-time national champ, you know, finish practice and go downstairs and start doing sprints or start doing another workout, you go, okay, well, if that's the goal, right, I suppose I should probably hop on too.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And, you know, I've been fortunate enough to, as a coach, to set in some different settings with Coach Denny, hear him speak and just sit and talk to him a little bit. And just talk about wisdom, man. I mean, every single time the dude opens his mouth, it's like you're inspired. You're like taking notes. I want to take and use these things with my team, you know?
Yeah.
So he's one of those guys.
And it's little things too. You know, one thing that, you know, I didn't even realize probably he was doing, but it's a conscious, deliberate effort. He gets his hands on everybody, you know, before every practice, right? He'll come up and grab you, shake your hand, whatever it is. He makes sure, you know, that he makes that connection every day with every single one of his athletes. And again, there was times where I'd be like, you know, make weight day. And I'm like, man, this guy's grabbing me, you know, I'm trying to run, coach. You know, he'll hold on to you for 5-10 seconds. And, but yeah, those are the things, right? Those connections that he makes. And somebody, Chuck Kearney said this the other day, and it's funny that, you know, somebody that wasn't around him a ton, but just picked up on this. When you're with coach, he has the ability, like you said, to really draw you in and inspire you. But at the same time, he can, when he listens, he makes you feel like you're the only person in the room, you know, and that ability to listen is something that, you know, my dad did really well and he does really well, and something that, you know, I'm conscious of, that I try to be a really good listener. You know, I think that's something that I got to be right now, just with, you know, just the cold, everything going on. I think being able to listen is so important right now.
Yeah. It's amazing that high level coaches, all these little things, right? And this is like a microcosm of life. Mm-hmm. But little things matter. They add up being big things, you know, and science has proven, I mean, high fives, a pat on the back, things like that literally uplift. Things like that literally matter. Yeah. And so, like I said, you know, coach going and putting his hands on you and talking to you, and it doesn't take a lot. And that's one of the things as a coach that I realize, and I didn't realize so much as an athlete, but I do as a coach, that just walking by, and because when I think back to my own experiences, right? If Coach Thompson, my college coach, just walked by and was like, you know, hey, I love the way you're doing that right there, or whatever, like, it completely would change my mindset. It would completely lift me up. And it took like 15 seconds of his time, you know? So those things matter. So yeah, the hands-on, the listening, you talked about
encourager. You know, being an encourager is something too. You know, there wasn't a lot of negativity allowed in that room in any aspect. And he walked that. And I think that's something too. It's, you know, I think it's still important to reinforce and have times where you redirect, but yeah, you know, being able to just encourage people is so much more important than anything else.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, the lack of negativity, you don't have any, there's no energy vampires in the room.
Yeah.
And so now you mentioned handshake, so you know what I'm probably going to say here. Yeah. Everybody knows about UNO, knows about the forearm handshake.
Yeah.
And all of us outside of the program, whenever we would shake someone's hand, we'd get caught off guard, right? When you reach there. So we would like make it a challenge. Like, okay, if I shake this dude's hand, he is not going to get to my forearm. Uh-huh. And you still would. Be, dang it, man. I didn't stop him.
You try to short arm you and boom, all of a sudden you lock in. Yeah. It's funny too. You know, we've talked about all this. That's been the real challenge for me too. You know, for the first month of camp on campus this year, you know, I'm like supposed to be social distancing, all these things. And that's tough. You know, that's one thing that, you know, embracing people is something that I've grown to love and feel like it's important as far as what we're doing here. So at least, I guess, you know, the UNO handshake, right? There's no actual hand touch. So maybe that's the universal COVID handshake now. But yeah. It is something that, you know, you'll get in a habit of doing. All of a sudden, I'll accidentally do it to somebody that, you know, they'll just kind of, you know, look at me like, did I mess that up? Did you mess that up? Like, what just happened?
That's good. That's funny. So yeah, anybody in the program knew it, and anybody outside of the program that competed against UNO or became friends with somebody from UNO figured it out as well. So, okay. Now let's forward a little bit to your college coaching experience, right? So, you know, of course, you were an amazing college athlete and a pinner. I mean, a pinning machine, which I love. My team, you know, we pin a lot. You were a pinning machine, great athlete. But then you go into coaching. Did you always know that you were going to be a coach because of your dad? Or, like, how did you even get drawn into the profession?
Yeah, I think so. It's one of those things that, again, that's was familiar, right? That's my mom was a gymnastics coach. My dad was a wrestling coach. So you have that, and then you kind of look at the people that have had the biggest impact in my life, you know, that those mentors, those people have came in the form of coaches, you know, because we do have that shared passion, and you have that shared passion, which creates opportunities to grow together in different directions, right? And I think once I realized, I didn't know what level I wanted to coach at, you know, that was my biggest thing. And when I was going through college, you know, I jumped from exercise science to phys ed. I was still kind of thinking, you know, I wanted to give myself an opportunity maybe to go either direction. And then really after my first year coaching was a student assistant in Omaha when they dropped the program, right? So, you know, that was my first introduction to being a coach. You know, we won a national title. 3 hours later, they dropped the program. So I was a little jaded from that. You know, honestly, I finished my degree then and was like, I'm sticking with high school, right? I want to coach high school, you know, because I feel like that's where I can, you know, maybe get away from some of the stuff that some of the issues we're having at the collegiate level with support. You know, if you can win 6 national titles in 8 years and they can still drop you like that and pull the rug out under a coach that was there for 32 years, you know, that's a tough thing to swallow. Right. So I thought, okay, I know I want to coach, you know, so let me look at this story. And it kind of worked out. I went back closer to home. You know, I had a college buddy that started the program at Bethany. And, you know, it just made sense right then to help out a little bit while I was trying to figure things out. Exactly what I wanted to do. It was a great opportunity for me. I loved being an assistant coach there for a little bit, just because it kind of gave me the flexibility to still be dad. You know, my kids were little at that point. And I think it helped me maybe clear the path a little bit for where I wanted to do. And then once I had an opportunity to take a head coaching position at the college, and I talked to my dad, I talked to Coach Denny, those two people that, you know, I go to fairly often in situations like that. And I think my dad, you know, we talk about wrestling coach, but he also coached cross country. He coached track. He was my assistant or my mom's assistant coach in gymnastics when they had gymnastics. You know, so I think, you know, he said, hey, you know, if this is something you're passionate about, right, I think, you know, to really be able to invest your energy towards wrestling and wrestling alone, I think that's a great opportunity if that's something you're wanting to do. And I think that is part of it, right? And I think that's, you know, I am blown away by high school coaches, their ability to wear so many hats and do so many different things. And a lot of times it probably takes, you got to be a better coach to be a high school coach, just because the things that you're having to balance and the disparity in your room and all these things. And I'm very aware of that when I do camps. I'm like, man, you know, I kind of forgot about maybe these things that are important to some of these kids as they're learning things, where I'm more refining things maybe at the collegiate level. You know, so those are things, you know, as I went through. But ultimately, it was like, how do I be the best steward of the gifts I've been given, that, you know, through God's grace, through these awesome people that have built into my life, right? How do I ensure that I'm maximizing that? And I felt like, you know, at the collegiate level, even with all that would happen there, right, I couldn't let that jade me from maybe where I'm being called to be.
Yeah, you know, that situation, for anyone who's listening that doesn't know, you know, you can look it up, Nebraska-Omaha and Nebraska-Omaha wrestling, and see the, you know, what happened right there, because it was heartbreaking. And I mean, for me, and I didn't even go there, right? For me, like, it just, because I know so many people that went there and know Coach Denny, mentally for me, it even kind of jaded me a little bit. You know, I can't even imagine what you guys felt. Yeah. And, you know, just because I know how much Coach Denny influenced the culture of the school, not just the wrestling program, but the entire school, the entire community, and for all those things. But I'm also super glad that you were able to say, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and jump in and continue this, because I know that his coaching tree, I know, is growing and growing and growing. And so the same influence that he had there is continuing at so many other places. And of course, now he's coaching in a different location, and he's, you know, still going to be doing the same thing he was doing at Omaha. So positively impacting lives. But so whenever you come over to take over the Baker program, tell me about, like, what were your thought processes, and what, not just what were they, but what were they and what are they as far as like how you're going to make this your program. What are the things that you're looking to do to build the culture there and to make you guys a nationally ranked team, and at the same time building exceptional athletes? I mean, because I know that that's huge for you. So tell me the whole thought process with your program.
Yeah. And I think that's something, you know, obviously just with that background, I go back and reflect on my time, my experience, my exceptional experience that I had in college. And I looked at Baker in that same regard, right? How many of these things align with some of the things that made that place special? One, from an academic standpoint, it's awesome here because, right, we're already trying to align with the expectation, the standard that's here from an academic standpoint. You know, we are a high, it's like a 99.6 job placement rate, upper 90s in post-grad acceptance. So just, you know, from that aspect, and it's tough academically, it's challenging here, but I like that because I think, you know, you and I have talked about it. I think you might've been the one that brought it up. Like, you know, as far as compartmentalizing, like, I want you to be all in on everything, right? And you have to be here. You have to be here because they're going to ask that. They're going to demand that out of you. And when you're all in and you're doing things the right way in the classroom, right, it's consistency. You know, that continuity from one thing to the other is just kind of becomes who you are, right? And how you do the little things is how you're going to do the big things. And all those things start lining up. And that was appealing to me, right? I like the fact that academically, you know, we were helping build towards something. Location, you know, Omaha was nice because where we were and being in the city. Well, here we're not necessarily in the city, but having Kansas City, you know, 30 minutes away, having Lawrence 15 minutes away, kind of have those resources, you know, but still away from maybe what some of the distractions that come with those places. So we can be tucked away and kind of have the best of both worlds. So those are things that, you know, I really thought, okay, this makes sense, you know, and two, because of that location, just like in Omaha, we have just as many coaches as athletes. Right? People be like, what is going on? Why the hell they got 15 coaches? Well, here, you know, I've been able, you know, we're kind of in a position where I can pull from different directions. And all of a sudden, you know, we have 7-8 coaches at practice every day. That makes a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. That's, I always remember that Omaha having so many coaches. Uh-huh. Up there. It's a huge benefit, you know, right. Being able to take some small guys and put them through small guys and bigs with your bigs and coaches that can really focus on character and coaches that can focus on technique and all these things. So what kind of athlete are you looking for? What kind of athlete do you recruit to Baker that like this is, I mean, every coach wants good wrestlers. What are the things that you're truly looking for an athlete to build your team program?
I think passion, you know, we talk about passion a lot. If you have a passionate wrestler, obviously that's something that I'm going to connect with and as a group resonates within them. I think if you can take that, if you have a love for the sport, you have to, and you know, that's one of those things, you're not always going to love it, but I want you to love it most of the time. You know, there's gonna be some tough practices that you have to go on, that commitment or, you know, whatever you're doing to get through those days. But ultimately you have to love this experience and this journey and the things and relationships that come out of it and the, you know, characteristics that are built in you and revealed through it. Those are things that, you have to be, you know, aware of, right? And being passionate about it allows you to do those things. So I think that's where we start, you know, and just like everything else, you know, everybody talks about things that are important, you know, your effort and attitude are going to be reflected in a lot of different ways too. And I can see that, you know, through, we honestly have a bunch of, you know, coaches' pets, right? Like, you know, I don't know how many of you, if I look through my roster, almost all of them are one of those guys that the coach, oh man, I love this kid, right? This kid was awesome. So I'm fortunate that, you know, I have some good relationship with the coaches in the area. And I think they're brutally honest with me, you know, because I've had, they go the other way, right? I've had coaches be like, you know what, coach, I know what you're trying to do there. And he's going to need maybe a little more direction this way, or maybe mature a little bit before he's ready for that. We've had a great group, that their effort and attitude was very visible. You know, how they carried themselves, how they interacted with family, how they interacted with their coaches, their work ethic when I'm at camps, when I've watched them compete, you know, how you can see that joy, you can see that purpose in how they compete, you know, even if it's not verbalized, right? I think just, you know, how they do things on and off the mat, it's going to show up. And I think that's one thing that I, you know, as a coach, Coach Denny was great at that, picking up on some of those things, and something that I, you know, try to be intentional about doing. You know, trying to find ways to see those little things that make a difference, for what's going to make us, man, look like we're doing a great job here, because trajectory changes. You know, the guys that maybe weren't ever, you know, state champs, all of a sudden national champs, right? That's a good way to build your brand.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So as a high school coach, I constantly talk to my athletes about, I mean, we're big on culture and big on character and those kind of things. And not that everybody wants to go wrestle in college or even play a college sport, right? So right now, I mean, I probably have 8 kids that came from my program that are doing college sports currently. Yeah. And some of them are wrestling, some of them are playing football, things like that. But we often talk about the things that allow you to even be looked at by schools and the things that are going to keep you there when you get there and allow you to not just be part of the program, but to actually step in and maybe start and things like that. So it's good to hear these, you know, hear from you these things. And then as a high school coach, I always try to make sure I'm really honest with the college coaches I'm talking to as well, because we want to have a good connection with that coach, with that program. So I don't want to be like, oh man, this kid's a world beater and he's not, or I don't want to say he's a great kid and he's a turd, right? Yeah. So we want to make sure that we're really honest, like you said. So for, and I say all that because I want other coaches that are out there listening, or maybe athletes that are listening, to know the things that they need to do to maybe get to this level, right? To come and wrestle for a Baker, to wrestle for a coach like yourself. What are like just 2 or 3 things that you consider pillars of your program?
Well, one of the taglines we've used here the last couple of years is being Baker bold. You know, I think going back to that boldness is goes back to the thing I was talking about with courage. You know, you confidence wavers. There's going to be times that you're going to be confident, but this is a sport that it's going to challenge your confidence at times. It's going to challenge your your ability to step out there and know if you can really do it or not. So, you know, being courageous is a lot more important for us, I think, just because that's something that you have a little more control over, because you can choose to be courageous and say, hey, I'm going to be okay with, I'm going to bring my best. And if I bring my best, you know, I'm going to create a result that I'm going to be at peace with. I think that courage is something that, you know, I want them to have in every aspect of their life, you know, because there's going to be a lot of things that you're going to have to be courageous. You're not always going to want to say no to this or that. And kind of maybe if you feel that peer pressure, whatever it is, right? Maybe you're not confident as you need to be at that point in your life, but I want you to at least be courageous enough to let your values shine through, you know. And I think that's something that's going to be important for this group. I think another one's positivity. You talked about, you know, energy buses is something that I like falling back on and talking about those energy vampires, right? I can't take too much negativity. You know, I think that's something that people want to gravitate towards to get through things. But ultimately, I just don't think it's something that's sustainable, right? It kind of eventually will wear on you if you're going to carry that around so much. And so that's one thing that, you know, I think positivity is another thing that this group, they've embraced that concept. And even though it's a little bit of a joke, right? You know, there's times in the group me, you know, somebody will say something, I'll just put energy vampire, you know, just they kind of tease them, but at the same time, you know, make them aware of kind of maybe that they're putting off something that they didn't know they were putting off by just trying to be, you know, funny, right? That's a lot of times sarcasm is a little bit negative, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think it's Coach Esslinger, Heath Esslinger, he talked about that, you know, and when he very first went to Tennessee Chattanooga and building that program and having to change the language, he wanted to change the culture, right? And a big part was changing language. And some was very apparent, but sometimes people don't even realize what they're putting off, like you said, right? And you have to make them aware of it. So you said earlier about, you know, not compartmentalizing, and just now you talked about, you know, people being able to, you know, kind of make sure they stick to their morals. For you, you're a strong Christian. So tell me about your faith walk. Like, how did you come to know Jesus? And then how does that apply to every other area of your life?
Yeah, it's funny. If any time in my life you'd ask me, I said, yeah, I'm a Christian. And there's always been a faith component in my life. And I think it's one of those things. And it's funny too, is you always hear people say like, oh, you know, God found me, you know, this or that. I think God was kind of after my heart for a long time. And I was, you know, you're a little bit self-centered growing up, you know, it's tough not to be. And again, there, that component was always there. I kind of always, you know, felt like I was a believer all the way through, and even through college, right? That was something that, you know, I was kind of inconsistent with. But after I finished college, I was actually at a coaching convention. And through that coaching convention, you know, there's a component of it that we got into discussing some of that stuff. And you know, that transformational period in my life, that was an important thing, right? For me to be able to go through that. I mean, it was one of those moments that, again, I kind of always consider myself a Christian, but man, did I have that saving faith at that point in my life? I don't know. You know, I was pretty distracted at the end, and not to say that, you know, that's a constant battle. And I wish it was one of those things that when I got to that point, it was like, boom, you know, and forever, you know, God's grace just, you know, was ever prevalent, you know, but it's one of those things that, at that moment, you know, it was something that, man, I had to make a conscious effort at that point. Cause I just kind of felt like it was eating at me. And I think I could, once again, for many, many times in a row, I kind of felt like God was after my heart, and I was like trying to fight it. And you know, I kind of just surrendered that day. And I think, man, it's been a blessing, right? I think, you know, once you have that, because perspective, you know, you miss a lot of things. And I think I heard Jordan Burroughs talk about it, and I can, not to the same degree by any means, relate to it. You know, you win national titles, you do all these things, and you're still kind of empty, you know, because if you're just driven by your own ego and trying to, you know, become something that maybe you don't even know what you're trying to become, it loses its purpose and value pretty quick. But when your ability to get your hand raised doesn't define you, I think it's perspective, and it's healthy, right? I think that's something too. It's just when you get to just be okay in your own skin and understand that that's not a battle that you have to battle, right? That's you know, I think that's an important thing for each and every one of us to kind of feel that. And again, and I'd wish, you know, that it gets easier and easier, but it's not, right? Even through all this, you know, that it's challenging, but I think that's also a good thing. I think it's a good thing, and it's something that, you know, I want to continue to work on, and it's going to show up in your life. And I think that's something that's important that, you know, I'm at a faith-based institute. I'm fortunate that I can kind of be a little more open about my faith, and within this group, and we have a great group of leaders, when it comes to Bible study and going to chapel and doing these different things. But I think that's that guiding light. That's that thing that I want to make sure that at the end of the day, they recognize is a value of mine, and hopefully, not that I'm going to impose it, but it's going to hopefully be proposed through my actions, my words, his words through me, right? I think those are things that I want to make sure I'm doing.
Yeah. And, you know, just from the outside perspective, I mean, like you said, we all have battles. It's a continuous battle. It's not like, hey, I surrender and then everything's peachy keen after that, mm-hmm. right? It's still, we're still humans and it's still life. But yeah. From an outside perspective, looking in, you know, you do a very good job of leading by example and showing your faith to others, you know? So I can say that very confidently as I hear your words, when I see you write things, as I see you work with athletes doing camps and stuff like that. And, you know, it's easy for people to portray a certain image, let's say on social media, whatever, but whenever right. you've seen people in various situations, you kind of get to see a little more who they really are, mm-hmm. you know? And again, not that you're perfect or I'm perfect or anybody, because it doesn't yeah. exist, but you do a very good job, you know, with your faith and just the things I hear about you, you know, the things I hear from parents and from other coaches and from athletes. You're a strong man, your faith, and that inspires a lot of other people.
Yeah, I said, I've been fortunate, man. A byproduct of fortune. I've had a lot of good people around me. And I said, you know, just something as simple as that, right? The sport of wrestling, you know, again, is kind of what led me to that moment. You know, I wouldn't have probably been in that situation if it wasn't for wrestling. And wrestling's kind of cool in that regard that, you know, there's a lot of believers in wrestling and open, going back to being courageous, right? Sometimes it takes some courage to open up and talk about your faith. And that's something that I think from a wrestling community with some of our studs, right? I mean, at the international level, Team USA, you got a lot of guys that are professing their faith, you know, often, right? And I think that's a healthy thing to see. And even through, you know, FCA and all these different things and having, you know, the resources we have around us, Mark Ellis, he's been up here a few times, does an awesome job. Heath's one that, you know, I can get on my feet. I've kind of moved away here recently, but you know, if I ever want to get on social media and see some positivity, I got great coaches all around me. You do a tremendous job with that as well. It's important to see that, right? And because sometimes we just, you know, to get reinvigorated, right? Just to be excited about it again. I think that's important to see and have constant reminders and good people surrounding you.
Yeah, absolutely. Social media can be positive. It can be negative. It's a double-edged sword.
Right.
I think if you make sure that you try to follow some highly inspirational people, some iron sharpens iron type guys, and it can definitely build you up. So now, how do you balance and people, and this will come out on YouTube as well. Mm-hmm. So people can see you a little bit, but I mean, you're still like in great shape. You still work out. I mean, you're an athlete, right? How do you balance like your own health, nutrition, wellness, staying in shape with coaching and a family life? I mean, so these are all things that you got to do. And like you said, I mean, everything we do, we want to do well. So tell me a little bit about balance. And I don't know if there is true balance in life. But
yeah, I'm fortunate that I'm still, I'll turn 35 this year. So I'm still at the point where I feel like I can continue to be on the mat. I'm going to have to continue to get better as a coach. I was talking with Coach Rhodes and Coach May about this the other day. While I can, I want to be on the mat. I still do most of the workouts with these guys and ladies now as well. So I'm doing all those things that they're doing. So that at least it's tough for me to do some workouts without them around, right? If I have a moment, right, I'd rather go spend time at home or whatever it is. But fortunately, part of my job is being around them, running them through workouts. If Coach Negus is running the weights, it kind of allows me, if I'm able to delegate things like that, I can just kind of pretend like I'm one of the wrestlers still. And I'm going to pretend like I'm a college wrestler as long as I can. I keep telling everybody, I'm in my 15th year of college wrestling. I'm gonna stay with it as long as I can. I know at some point my body's gonna tell me that it's done doing that. But if I being around Coach Venegas and working on my mobility and getting on the mat and working through positions, right? Those are things that I'm still very passionate about. It's cool because now I get to do it to serve others, and it's a different perspective. But I like that. I had a kid the other day, like, well, do you wanna keep going? I'm like, I'm done competing. I'll keep going as long as you want to keep going. But this is for you. I still love being on the mat. I love being with this group and doing the workouts. I'm one of those guys that I didn't love being in the weight room, but I knew it was part of the process. And right now for me, it's part of building into our culture. If I'm down there and working out with them, and they inspire me, they give me, I go down there. I don't want to clean by myself. If I go down to the weight room right now, I'm probably not going to do any clean. I'll probably find a way to, do some other body weight stuff. But when I'm in there with that group, I'm a little more apt to, pick up some weight and go through some of that stuff. And that they kept me young because of that.
Let me ask you this. And this can be as brief as you want or as long as you want. All right. I call this, being on the hot seat.
Okay.
So I want you to tell me about a hardship, a highlight, or a hero in your life. And then you can expound upon it. A hardship, a highlight, or a hero?
Yeah, I got a chance to talk about my dad a little bit. Obviously, that's somebody that I look up to. I think from a highlight standpoint, right, to be able to, see my life and kind of where it's at now and kind of reflect on him and my family, right, that's something that's probably a highlight, to just see my little family grow now, to all of a sudden, I got second grader, fourth grader, seventh grader. My wife, she's over at the high school teaching, but just kind of that new, I got two dogs now, right? Somehow I managed to find myself with two dogs. I think that's right. That's my highlight right now. And I think that's one thing I've gotten better at. I didn't always do a great job of smelling the roses, kind of soaking in the moment. Cause when you're always driven towards something, you have a hard time of really having perspective and just enjoying where you're at and being where your feet are. That's my highlight, right? My highlight is every day when I get home and there's a rush out the door to come see me. Usually the dogs right now are the first ones out there, but you got three or four people following it. So that's my highlight, and that's the highlight of my day and highlight of my life, right? I could talk about all these different things. I don't remember any of those moments winning matches or even when I think about college wrestling, I think about relationships and traveling and stuff like that. I can't, unfortunately, I think about losses more than I've ever thought about any of my wins. And fortunately, you know, I don't really think about those things anymore either. But yeah, that's one thing I've done a better job with here lately and still can improve on is, kind of being where my feet are and said, just loving the moment. And my highlight is, hopefully making impacts, you know, in every relationship, every interaction I have, making sure that's a positive one. You know, I think that's where there's peace. I think that's where there's purpose in what you're doing. And hopefully, again, going back to being a steward of the gifts that have been built into me and maybe doing what I've been called to do. That's the highlight, right? If I can kind of serve that purpose and, you know, continue to build into other people's lives, that's all the things I need.
Yeah, that's it's beautiful to hear, man, because I think so many people out there that are sort of achievers. I don't know if you've ever done the Enneagram thing. I just did it pretty recently. And that's what I am, like an achiever. And so sometimes whenever you're always striving for something, it's hard to stop and smell the roses, or you accomplish it. And then you're just like, all right, what's next? Right.
What's next? Yeah.
But having a family, having children, we have two dogs too. Those are the things that, those are the true highlights in life. And Coach, you're making a big impact. So within your own family, there at Baker University, all the wrestlers that you have, and then, you know, nationally as well. So I want to tell you thank you, because you inspire me as a coach. You inspire me as a Christian to want to be better and always continue to grow as well.
Yeah, no, thank you. Like I said, I'm humbled to be a part of this thing. I love what you're doing. And like I said, you know, I can even bypass the social media stuff. I can go right to your website now, right? So you got you got it all, man. I very fortunate to have some great people around me and inspiration as well. So thank you again and keep doing what you're doing.
Yes, sir. Will do. Well, this has been another episode of Coach P's Perspective with Coach Cody Garcia. And Coach, how do we find you? How can we connect with you if somebody's interested in wrestling at Baker, or they just want to follow you personally?
Yeah. I mean, as far as student athletes, prospective student athletes, getting online, the BakerWildcats.com and filling out a questionnaire, through there is the easiest way to get us started. So we have all the contact info. And then outside of that, you know, I think most of my contact info should be on that same website. You know, I need to be a little more active. Hopefully here soon, once we get going again, I'll probably get back on Twitter and all that stuff and Instagram, you know, but probably the best way to find me is just email and cell phone. If anybody wants to reach out, they're more than welcome to reach out.
Okay. Well, I'll make sure that in the show notes that I connect your wrestling program, you know, your website, your link and all those things, so interested wrestlers or coaches can connect with you that way. So again, thanks for being on here. Appreciate it.
Awesome. We'll see you, Coach.
All right. All those listening, may God bless you and smile upon you and give you peace. Till next time. See y'all. Hey, before you go, I just want to tell you, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Coach P's Perspective. And then a couple things that I would ask. One is hit the subscribe button. That way, every single time a new episode comes out, man, as soon as you open up your podcast app, it is right there, ready to roll. You can listen to a new one. The second is, if you would, and we earned it, give us a 5-star review, a quick written review, especially if you're on Apple Podcasts, that's great. You know, one of the ultimate goals is to grow this show and to positively impact as many people as possible, and that helps. And then lastly, jump over to lanefrostbrand.com. Visit my friends over there. You know, this is an incredible company, family-owned, operated, honoring the late, great Lane Frost, who is, you know, a former rodeo champion, was one of my idols growing up, and this is one of my absolute favorite companies. So if you need ball caps, t-shirts, all kinds of apparel, again, go over to lanefrostbrand.com and check them out. Thank you guys again. Much love and God bless.
Podcast complete. Now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins. Tell Satan to stay up off of me. With a new step. CSL rep. Pop, lock, and rock. Coach P, who never stops.